Every day, thousands of listeners here in mid-Michigan hear a rich baritone voice. Dick Estell is the longtime host of The Radio Reader on WKAR AM 870. His program can be heard not just in mid-Michigan, but on dozens of public radio stations across the country. And next year, Dick celebrates 50 years as The Radio Reader. But his radio roots go back even farther. He joined WKAR in 1955 as a student announcer. By 1964, he was station manager, and it's our pleasure to have him on our show today. Dick Estell, welcome to Current State.
Thank you.
You joined the staff in 55. You'd served in the Air Force prior to that. How did you become interested?
Well, prior to that, really, I was in commercial radio for 5 years.
Okay.
But prior to that,
how did you get into broadcasting in the first place?
I went to Don Martin's School of Radio and TV Sciences in Hollywood, California. Back in those days, you had to have an engineer's license in order to be on the air. And so the Don Martin School was one of the areas in the United States that had classes which provided you with that license.
Did you grow up in California?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm a Michigan man from the day of birth until today.
Okay, but you spent a couple of critical years in Hollywood.
Yes.
Is that it? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What was the sound of WKAR in 1955?
I remember hearing a number of 16-inch discs being played, provided to us by different sources. The sound really was more classical music, I think, than anything else.
Okay.
We had, as our manager, a man who had worked for RCA Victor for a number of years, and so he actually brought that background of classical music through RCA Victor to him, to here, to Michigan State. And so I think that probably more, there was news, of course, but more classical music than anything else. And farm reports, too. We had farm reports.
Okay. One of the early programs that you helped produce was called You Are the Jury, and we actually have a clip from that show. This is from 1957, the year that WKAR won a Peabody Award for this show. You were working at KAR then. You were not yet on this show. Let's listen to You Are the Jury.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to You Are the Jury, and another case from the files of the Michigan State University Highway Traffic Safety Center. Today, the case of the unexpected car.
Sure, I was out in the left lane passing, but when I started, there wasn't an approaching car in sight. I did everything I could to avoid an accident.
That was Cal Somerville, one of the drivers involved. We'll hear more of his account later. I'm Rob Downey, and my job is to bring out the facts in the case of the unexpected car.
Eventually, Dick Estell, you took over production of that show. Tell us about that.
Well, Rob Downey did a very good job in the beginning, and of course, at the time, we had no idea it was going to become such a popular and award-winning program. When Rob decided that he no longer wanted to be the master of ceremonies, so to speak, then the manager of the station, Bob Coleman, decided that I would fill in for him, and I did. And we traveled all over the state of Michigan to interview people for this program, and as you said, it became a national award winner, and we were very proud of that. It's one of the very few that public radio stations had received in those years.
Moving ahead to 1967, Congress in that year passed the Public Broadcasting Act, which helped create NPR and PBS. You were playing a role in forming the public broadcasting system in those years, and it must have been a lot of uncharted territory. Tell us about that.
So uncharted that we didn't know how we were going to provide program services to all of the public radio stations in the United States.
How many were there?
96.
Okay.
At that time. Now it's well over 200 or 300. I'm not sure. But that was the big problem. If we have a central area where we can produce these programs, say Washington, D.C., or from the many individual stations who provided that service to National Public Radio, how are we going to get it out to the stations? There was no such thing as a satellite in those days, and so we had tapes that would be... It sounds funny just using the word tape.
Tape, right.
Provided the tapes to the different stations and the stations then to National Public Radio, which was just educational radio in those days. And that was the big problem, was the distribution of program services, and was a problem until, really, the satellite came forth and we were able to provide services anywhere throughout the world.
What's it like hearing those early days in your head, in your memory, with what people associate with NPR and PBS today?
Well, it's a world of difference, of course. Our world keeps moving on, and it seems that every day we are confronted with news that is good and bad. Lately, it's been bad. But we really didn't have that opportunity before. So the situation that we find ourselves in now is that some people, many people, say, why do we hear such bad news all the time? There are so many sources available to broadcast facilities that it's amazing that there aren't more reports. We're hearing reports about people being killed or in accidents or shot that never would have made the news back in those days, simply because there was no radio or television station that would pick that up and provide that news service to their communities. So really, the news itself was a very integral part of National Public Radio, and that the fact that we could get the news from so many sources provided us then with a capability of doing something that had never been done before in all of these local communities throughout the nation.
Mm-hmm. You also did TV work here at WKAR. You hosted a program in the early 80s called Estelle at Large. We've got a clip.
Estelle at Large, exploring the issues of the day with citizens and leaders of the Mid-Michigan community.
So, Dick, Estelle, tell us about Estelle at Large.
Great theme song. Well, Estelle at Large really was the same kind of program that you have here. We interviewed people we thought were important people, and however, it was on television and not radio, so it was a little different setup.
Had you done TV before?
No, I'd never done TV, other than a booth announcer, but I'd hardly subscribed to the fact that I was different from many of the programs that we had. This was different. And it was fun because it enabled us to get out into the community and interview people in the community and got them on TV. And, of course, they loved that opportunity. So it was a different show for us here at WKAR Television, and one that I loved to do. I think the one that was most interesting and most popular was an interview with a woman who was in Jackson Prison. And, of course, we shaded out her face when we were broadcasting. But just to ask her about not how she got there, but how she was able to handle day by day by day, which was so different from her normal activity as a housewife.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, that was one of the most popular that we had on that program. But we interviewed so many local people, so many people here on campus. And as I said, it was just like your program here, except it was on television.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I was the master of ceremonies.
And now you were juggling that with the Radio Reader at the time, if I have my chronology right. And the Radio Reader began in 64. Many people across the country know you as the Radio Reader. Just give us a synopsis of what the Radio Reader has meant to you and the place it has in your career.
Well, the Radio Reader has meant to me, has given me an opportunity to read books, and I've taken advantage of that opportunity, and that's what the program is all about. The program actually started back in the very early 30s, and the manager of the station, Bob Coleman, at that time started the program. It was the Reading Circle, I believe, and was 15 minutes long.
Okay.
But the same thing. He would read from a book. And then it expanded to a half hour. And when Bob Coleman retired, then Larry Freimeyer, who became manager, was the next Radio Reader. So actually I inherited the program from the two previous managers of the station.
Whoever was manager was the Radio Reader.
That was it.
Okay.
And it hasn't changed since then. But the situation was that as manager, I became the Radio Reader, and in the beginning, it was a program only for WKAR. As time went on, some other stations heard the program and asked if they could receive it. So again, we went back to the tapes, and we would send tapes, bicycle tapes, they were called, because we'd send a tape to Station X, and when they played it, then they'd send it on to Station Y and so forth, and little by little, it became a national program.
Hmm.
Then with the satellite coming in, it offered us so much more opportunity.
How proud were you of the fact that you were national?
Well, very proud.
Yeah.
I was one of the originators of National Public Radio. As I said, it was called just educational radio in the beginning, and then National Public Radio, and I served as the chairman of the board of directors for a while, and I was, as I said, was very proud of that, and still am today, because National Public Radio has become a major source of national and international news around the nation.
Mm-hmm. Dick Estelle, the Radio Reader, celebrates 50 years as the Radio Reader in 2014. He's been our guest this morning on Current State. Thanks, Dick.
You bet.
Continued success.
Thank you.